Well, last Sunday, my family wasn't here with you, and I know Pastor Al Frank preached a good word. I'm thankful for his ministry here among us. The last few weeks, since Easter, I've been in this series from the book of Acts, and we'll be looking at the book of Acts for a moment this morning. I know we don't have a lot of time, but one of the stories that our children heard this week was from the book of Acts, and it was the story of Saul that we now know as of Paul. But this last Sunday, I was not here with you. We were visiting family in Missouri, and one of the things that I quickly remembered once we left town was I remembered what it was like to drive in traffic. So I don't know if you leave Marshalltown very much, but we don't really have a lot of traffic here. And so part of that drive was rediscovering how to drive. I will give Iowa credit. I believe that Iowa, now you could argue with me if you want, but I believe that Iowa has some of the kindest drivers on the road. I feel like we are very courteous to one another. Maybe it's because we're used to coming up on farmers who are on the road. I don't know, but we seem to be very nice, courteous drivers. I will not say that that is the same in Missouri. I feel, having lived there 8 years and visited frequently, that Missouri just, there's something a little bit different. And so I had to quickly acclimate to driving with a little more aggression. Can I say it that way? Well, during our vacation time away, we were traveling from my parents' home to where Katie's parents live in Jefferson City. The day we left, it was raining. It was like a torrential downpour. I believe you've experienced that here in Marshalltown, right? It keeps doing that. Well, we planned it where, not intentionally, where it just started to pour down rain. And so as we left, we began to drive on a two-lane highway to our destination. So if you're familiar with Missouri at all, we were driving from Sedalia on Highway 50 to Jefferson City, Missouri. But the rain began to come down, and I was having trouble seeing. And it's, I don't know, this experience, I'm starting to question whether or not I might be getting a little bit older, but I was having trouble seeing in the rain, and I don't know what it was, but it created a little bit of panic for me because I was so familiar with this road. I had driven this road so many weekends as a college student, but when the rain began to come down, even though the road was the same, the conditions felt different. It had me thinking a little bit about life. Sometimes that can happen to us when storms come our way in life. Even if it's something we've experienced in the past, it can feel different when we become overwhelmed with what's all around us. And that was my sense as I was headed on that highway, that everyone else was driving crazily and erratic, and that I was the one that was doing everything right, but yet I had no control of what was happening around me. So this morning, maybe you find yourself in a difficult season, a season in life where things aren't as you expected them to be, a season where you don't know what's going to happen next. If that's you this morning, I want us to discover together that there is hope found in the Word of God and there is hope found in the person of Jesus Christ. And so because of our time, I want us to actually jump in and look at Acts chapter 9. And this is the story of Saul's conversion. If you've heard this story before, growing up in the church or as an adult, I encourage you to listen with new ears and fresh eyes as we read the text. So Acts chapter 9, beginning verse 1, it'll be on the screen for you as well. It begins, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples." I'm going to stop us for a second to let you know what has happened in the book of Acts. If you've been with us, you know that the early church was gathered together waiting on the promise of the Holy Spirit. And then Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit was poured out. And we've looked at how Luke and John had been empowered by the Spirit, and God has already been working miracles through the body of Christ, and the church has been growing. But up until this point, some things have happened. Persecution has broken out. A faithful man named Stephen has been killed. He's been stoned to death. And now we jump into Acts chapter 9. So meanwhile, Saul is a part of this group. He's still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. So he goes to the high priest and he asks him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, another city, right? So the high priest doesn't really have authority, but he wanted letters so that he could have an in on the way to Damascus so that he could arrest followers of the way. So let's continue here in the text. So he asked for letters so that if he found any who belonged to the way, that is Jesus, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. So as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed all around him, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they had to lead him by hand into Damascus. For 3 days, he was blind, and he did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This story that we're going to look at very quickly this morning features really two men, Saul and Ananias. Two men from two different backgrounds headed in two different directions, but both of them end up colliding with Jesus. See, Saul was a man who was on a mission. He thought he was doing exactly what God wanted him to do. Let us not forget this part of the story. Too often we make Saul out to be a terrible man. But Saul thought he was being a faithful Jew. He thought he was protecting God and protecting God's people. So Saul was on a mission, and his mission was to get rid of the followers of the way, the followers of Jesus. So his desire, his plan, was to head down the road to Damascus and arrest anybody that he found that belonged to Jesus. So as he sets out on his journey, instead of running into other followers of the way, he runs into the way, he runs into Jesus. Saul collides with Jesus on the road. He's knocked down by a bright light. And he hears someone saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Now Saul responds, "Who are you, Lord?" Saul knew this was not just an ordinary day on the road to Damascus. He knew the conditions had changed and that something was different. He knew that this was not an earthly event, but this was something of the Lord. So he asked, "Who are you, Lord?" Jesus responds, "Why do you persecute me?" "Why, Saul? Why?" It is Jesus. And he tells him to get up and go into the city. Jesus on the road reveals himself to Saul. And then he sends Saul down that very same road to Damascus. Everything changed in Saul's life, but the road remained the same. But Saul had to trust Jesus. He had this encounter. He's been knocked down. He's lost his physical eyesight, and he has to trust Jesus' word to him. He has to get up and go. He has to trust and obey. And when he stands up, he has no sight. So those who he's been traveling with help him, lead him by hand. This mighty man who was out to arrest, who has been persecuting the followers of the way, is now blind and being led by hand. This is Saul. The other person in our story this morning is Ananias. The Lord also calls out to Ananias, this time in a vision. He calls out his name, and Ananias replies, "Yes, Lord." He knew that it was the Lord's voice. God then tells him that he must go to Saul. Ananias' response is, "Saul, do you not know who Saul is? Saul is the one who has been killing us, persecuting us." As if this conversation is going to convince God somehow to change his mind. Ananias must also trust and obey. He must also listen to that same voice. Ananias has this moment that we see throughout Scripture, this, I call it a who am I moment. If you know the Bible at all, if you've read through the Old Testament and the New, time and time again, you will see God's people finding themselves in this crazy place, this position before God, and the only response is, who am I, God? Who am I? Ananias would say, who am I that I would it be able to go to Saul? But isn't that the same for us? We find ourselves on this road and we encounter Jesus. Our lives collide with Jesus and he comes to us and he begins to speak the plan into our life, the plan that he has for us, and our response is much the same. Who am I, Lord? Who am I that you would love me, that you would forgive me, that you would call me, and that you would send me? The Lord's response to Ananias was, go. Saul was told to get up and go, and Ananias was told to go. Friends, this morning, we cannot know what lies ahead on this road of life, but we must go. We are all being sent out. We've already discovered in the book of Acts that God doesn't send us out alone, but he sends the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to empower us and to enable us to go, but he still sends us out to be his witnesses. So you see, God has chosen to move into the world around you through your go. That's God's plan. He's chosen all of us, the church. And the way that he wants to reach your neighborhood and our communities is through our go. So what is it that holds us back? Right? The path is in front of all of us. The mission is the same. The power is the same. So what is it that holds us back? As we look at Saul and Ananias, we can see very clearly that both of them have encountered Jesus in their life, and both of them have been transformed. Saul, now at the beginning of this encounter with Jesus, had to just trust God at his word, and he had to walk that road, and he had to wait for Ananias, but he was faithful to trust God and follow after him. But both of them have been transformed. Saul's transformation is completed when Ananias, the faithful one, comes, lays his hands on him, and prays for him, which, if anything, says to us this morning that we need each other, right? It's not by accident that we have a vacation Bible school to share the story of God's word with the next generation. We need one another. Together we are the body of Christ. So we cannot live separate lives. We need one another. Can't imagine what the New Testament would look like if Ananias and stayed home. If he said, Lord, what you're asking of me is too much. But he trusted God and he went. Paul receives the Holy Spirit in his sight and he is baptized. The transformation in Saul's life began when he collided with Jesus. It is only Jesus that can change your life like that. It is only God who can reveal the true meaning in your life. The road remains, but God wants you to be made new and to help other people find him. Now, Saul, eventually he changes his name to Paul as we know him. So Paul still ends up in Damascus, right? He set out to get to Damascus. He still ends up in Damascus, but instead of arresting and killing believers, he ends up preaching Jesus. The very Jesus that he was out to put down, he is now proclaiming to the city of Damascus. Who could have imagined a transformation like that? Saul of all people. But what about you? What about me? Who could have imagined you or I? But God chose us, and he called us. And it's Jesus that changes us. He is the one that takes our no way, no way, or our we've never done that before, and transforms them into a yes. God is the one who can rearrange our way of seeing, being, and acting. God is the one who changes us and our world. So have you collided with Jesus? Have you met him in your life? Have you encountered the living God? Have you given him your yes? If your answer this morning is yeah, then the response is you must get up and go. But let us, as we close this morning, let us make sure that the voice that we are listening to is his voice. There are a lot of godly people like Saul who feel like they've been given a mission and they are out there, but when they meet Jesus at the end of their life, he may say to them, "Depart from me, I never knew you." So we must make sure that we are faithful to hearing his voice, knowing his word, and serving his kingdom for his glory. We must be aligned with Jesus. We must make sure there's nothing in our life that is opposed to what God is trying to do in us and through us. The freedom that Paul experienced after this moment in his life, that freedom that he lived out the rest of his life, it happened because of that encounter with the living God, Jesus. And in that moment, he offered everything to Jesus, as he discovered that Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life. So as we close in prayer, just two simple questions. Have you met him? And are you following him? And as we close in prayer, his Holy Spirit is here. And is his Holy Spirit that speaks to our spirit, as God dwells within us, his Holy Spirit is so faithful to correct us. And it's not to put us down, but it's to make us right with him so that we can move forward faithfully. So let us close in prayer and allow God to search our hearts so that we can leave this place ready to go and serve him. Let's close in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we are thankful, grateful people that you would find us on the road of our lives, that you would encounter us, that you would break in. Father, it doesn't matter where we're at in our life. It doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter even what this last week has brought. If we will turn our eyes and look upon you, if we will make you Lord of our life, even in this moment, God, you are faithful. You are faithful. So Father, if there is sin among us, Father, we want to be faithful to repent of our sins. Father, we seek your forgiveness. We are turning from that sin in the past and stepping into the calling that you have for us. Father, what you offer us is peace and new life, a glorious freedom and a future and hope for all of eternity. So, Father, thank you for that. We receive that this morning in Jesus' name. But Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit would search our hearts, fill us with your goodness, with your glory, for your name, as we sang this morning. And as we leave this place, Father, that we would be filled with joy, hope, and peace of the Lord, ready to love others in the name of Jesus. Father, we know that you have sent, that you are sending us out. We know that you have this path for us to walk. I pray, Father, that all of us would be faithful, trusting you, obeying everything, no matter how big or small it is, and leaning fully into your grace for our lives. We pray all this together in the strong name of Jesus. In his name we pray this morning. Amen. 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 May you go in peace this morning. You are loved. Amen.